If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the supreme love of the Most High. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Calling Interdimensional Psychics, Intuitives, Mediators. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the divine life stream that commutates your divine essence down into the physical plane and physical form. Feel it all the way down into your toes. Take another deep breath and summon as much of your interdimensional self as you can possibly integrate. And bring it down all the way to the physical envelope. And once again, take a deep breath. Integrate, align. Evoke and call forward your divine knowing. And we will chant the hue three times. Deep breath. Hue. And we ask the Divine Spirit for a clearing and a lifting of anything that anyone has brought this evening or this morning, wherever you are, that anyone has brought forward in their energetic field that no longer serves them and could be cleared at this time through grace. See if you can just release whatever would be a dissonance within your field. Just let it go, at least for this next hour. Take a deep breath. Release it to grace. Let it go. That's it. It dissolves instantly. You don't have to process. You don't have to bear. You don't have to work through. You just have to recognize it's not you and let it go. Now visualize yourself, if you would, as a ginormous golden chalice. Just see it cover your whole torso with its cup, and the stem and base goes down through the body and the base at your feet, so that you're literally the Holy Grail. Yes, that's the true Holy Grail. It's who you are. In the billions of embodiments that you have had in time, space, and the dream fields of becoming, evolving, unfolding, these are all dream fields. But within each of these dream fields, there have been deposits of the quintessential wisdom, beauty, light, love, selfless self-bestowal that has been accrued and deposited into that chalice. This contains all of your lifetimes. Just as you have a permanent atom at each level that holds a distillation of the quintessential essence of your experience, so the chalice contains the total essence of divine wisdom, of divine perfection, that you yourself, through your noble and heroic acts, in life after life, your self-giving, your martyrdoms, in the real sense of where you gave your life because you would not speak the truth. There were times when you laid down your life for another. There were times when you took the blow, the bullet, the hatchet, the whatever, to protect another, claiming that the offense was yours when it really wasn't. Every time you have laid aside the personal self for that greater self, there has been an eternal deposit in the chalice. Now, ultimately, all of that at a certain point becomes, let's say, the heritage of fulfillment that manifests as the divine cosmic identity with a capital I that you become when you graduate from this earth school or from service to this earth school and you go on to greater works within the cosmos. So those who have a full chalice are full of the wisdoms that they know not the source of. They know not where this wisdom comes forth, but when it's needed, something simply is present and comes forward without anyone's knowing where it came from, how it came to be. And ones will ask, even challenge you, how do you know that? And like Jesus, he'll simply give no reply to the ignorant. Nor will you take offense, nor will you attack. You will give no answer at all to those who really don't want an answer, but only want to decry and denigrate, attack. But those who have a right to know, you can say, like Jesus, my kingdom is not of this world. I come from my Father, and those who have seen me have seen the Father, for the Father and I are one. Of course, you'll couch it in the language of today, but beautifully and eloquently and with divine authority, because you know. And so we can't dumb down just to make the dimmer lights on the planet feel more comfortable. We're called forward now to shine at our full glory appropriately at the right time. And it's not always the right time. I mean, you don't have to blaze all of your light when you're standing in line at the grocery store. You get the point I'm making here. But there's a time and a place and a person before you in which you have to reveal who you truly come in the name of. Because we don't come unappointed. We have been sent by the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And we're sent all over the place, and we don't care because we know he who sent us is with us at all times, within, without, all about. We live in the divine, and the divine inhabits us as its own incarnations. And so we know wherever we're sent, it is that which is within that gives us the words to speak, the timing of the words to be spoken, or the silence, the equipping and empowering to do whatever is meant to be done at that point that would be truly helpful. And we know not what would be truly helpful until he who sent us inspires us from within. And we find ourselves just doing and saying the appropriate thing because we walk and are spirit-led. And so what we are is much more important than anything else because we become a magnetic, attractive center of divine love, knowledge, wisdom, light. And we magnetize into our auric field that which is of a similar vibration. And so we don't walk in a world that we see displayed on the evening news. We, as Jesus said, have come from a higher kingdom, and we represent a higher kingdom. And we are walking emissaries and ambassadors of that higher dimensional realm from whence we have come. Really, an extension, but not a departure. So we extend the light of heaven unto this and a myriad of worlds. We extend the love of heaven unto this and a myriad of worlds. And yet, in highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. Remain we still. As God created us in original innocence and peace. And it is that very original innocence and peace that people on this planet have lost sight of. And that's why we must draw upon our chalice and dispense the waters, the living waters of life, to those parched brothers and sisters roaming within the wilderness of material life. So there is a great need for interdimensional, interspecies communicators, trained, psychic, intuitives, mediators. We mediate and communicate multi-dimensional bridges of understanding that bring connectivity and understanding and compassion and a sense of group and global cohesiveness and interspecies cohesiveness and galactic and intergalactic cohesiveness. And the cohesiveness of which I speak is a certain platform, if you will, a certain grid field of collective wisdoms that we have come as a collective Messiah, a collective anointed group to impart to this planet at this time. As the third dimensional Earth at this time is melding, merging, and interpenetrating the next dimension, we are entering into what could be called a refined physical dimension, an etheric physical dimension. Each plane has seven dimensions. Only three are visible in the physical dimension. There are four physical planes that are etheric in nature. And we're beginning to see into that dimension now Moreover, the physical planet Earth is now going to merge with and be one with the astral plane. So you see, the Earth isn't ascending that far. It's simply in, like, say, the baby step into the next dimensional state. And the astral plane is the plane of our collective imagination. So that's why, if you've been watching the many, many paranormal shows on television, there's such a focus on the supernatural, paranormal phenomena, the ghosts and the strange creatures that they're finding in the different places on the planet, all sorts of oddities. And then there's the Bigfoot that has the ability to move back and forth from the third to the fourth dimension. And there are many species that have that ability now to move freely between the third and the fourth dimension, which we could say collectively represents that next higher level we're speaking of. So it's mandatory that we have those who can see, that have extended vision. You could call it initially a refinement of the physical sight, which would be etheric physical vision, which all of us are developing, but also those who have the ability to see in the astral light and higher, and who can interpret, who can initially sense, communicate with, interpret, understand, and help others understand when these things begin appearing into our new reality. So we're all called forward at this time with a more conscious ability to operate with our gifts and also control them in the sense that they're not unconscious. We need conscious mediators. Now, some people are unconscious mediums. That's another thing. We won't speak about that because we're talking at this time for those of you, like myself, that are actually trained or in the process of being trained or are operating as telepathic receivers and transmitters. Oh, they call us channels, but actually we're not channels. We're people who are attuned to higher levels of consciousness, and some of us are able to function very consciously with those gifts and help others to also become more aware of their gifts and operate more consciously. So we need conscious mediators trained to consciously operate with skill and understanding and working with the various orders of life, the human kingdom, the Devic, elemental, angelic kingdom, the astral kingdom with all its many denizens, different beings that have their own little zones of consciousness within this vast plane that's about double the size of the physical. Literally, everything that we've ever imagined from the beginning of time is located in the astral plane. And so we meet our own creations there. In fact, I often say that you only see within and without your own self, regardless of the form that presents. So when you understand that, then you can't be afraid of what shows up, because it's just your own creation. It's your own self, your own energetic field taking form. When you understand that, the fear begins to depart, because we're only afraid of things that we don't understand how they operate. Once you understand how something operates, you don't fear it anymore. You know how to work with it. So we need also those who can communicate with the extraterrestrial kingdom, with the interdimensional kingdoms and multiple species that don't live in a dimension, per se, or off-planet on another orb, but are actually interdimensional. They live in worlds in between the dimensions. And then you have the animal kingdom. We need animal communicators. You have the divine kingdom into which the human kingdom is now beginning to move into, because the human is simply a bridge from the animal to the divine. It's a parenthesis in eternity that enables us to develop that which is peculiar to human beings, the differentiating mind, the mind that can function within duality, make linear sense of it, and operate here. But that's not a place to camp. That's a place that you're moving through, gaining the understanding, and then morphing into, developing into the soul kingdom, the kingdom of souls, which we could also define as the fifth kingdom, the fifth plane, Satchkhand, realm of truth, Satyadesh, land of truth, whatever you call it. That's more of what I would call our true home, the kingdom divine. And there you encounter the soul. There you encounter the God realms, the realms of soul realization and God realization, the Atmic realms, the God realms, the Siddhalokas, the various dimensions in which the perfected and perfecting ones go. So we need communicators at every level. There's room for you, whatever your gift is, there's room for you, a call to you, and a need for you. So we're very unique in the fact that we are a group loosely called the Global Light Workers, or you could call us the New Group of World Servers. And we're people who are basically united with one intent, and that's to serve. We want to be of service. Service is our inner motivative impetus for coming here, for staying here, and for participating here. And the urge to serve is the first indication that the soul is beginning to infuse and occupy and move through and operate through the human vehicle, the human personal vehicle, the body-mind complex, if you will. So service means you're waking up to who you truly are. And it comes with any degree of contact with the soul. So our collective ability now to have created an online global community via the internet and and social media is very important. It is the outer manifestation of the degree of inner rapport that we've attained as a group. Yes, think about it. So as within, so without. As above, so below. And the Aquarian Age will see that we will be mastering the air element, which includes the etheric plane, the Akashic plane. And this involves moving from intellect to intuition via telepathy, telepathic rapport. We will also, in this next cycle, which involves two cycles, a major cycle under Aquarian energy, which is 26,000 years, roughly, and a minor cycle. We have two Aquarian cycles that are united at this time, very rare, which will last approximately 2,500 years. And so during that time, we will see the complete transferal of all of our outer forms of how we do things, transposed into a way that we work with energy to accomplish the same thing, and the mastering of space travel. So in the Piscean Age, the previous age that started to go out of manifestation in 1625, and now we're at the very, well, we're at the end of it now. It's actually ended. We saw the mastery of the water element. So you see, we move now from the mastering of the water element, which represents, by the way, the emotional nature, the astral nature of humanity. And our next evolutional stage would be the mastering of the mind, the air element. So that gives you an idea of where humanity as a kingdom is and what its next step is. Everything needs to be moved from unconsciousness to conscious self-direction, self-governance. So with regard to us as a group, we need to be able to be in rapport the world over. And this is already slowly developing. And I would say the manifestation of that, again, is our ability to connect through the Internet. But the Internet, you see, without the inner awareness of connectivity, you know, you're kind of getting caught up in the outer form, and you're missing the inner essence. That's why you need to monitor the time you spend on the Internet and replace it also with sitting and developing that inner sensitivity that can register the energies, vibrations, and thought fields of our collective group, of the men and women of light throughout the planet and off planet, and other dimensions and other planes and everywhere, because it's one life in all of these many forms. So this is how, actually, we recognize each other when we meet. That's why that person will look so familiar. You've been in the room with them 10 minutes, and they feel like they've been family forever. That's true, they have been. So you'll find that there's just a tremendous rapport with souls who are working on similar aspects of the divine plan. And when we watch their videos or read their writings or hear them speak, we recognize that similarity of vibration. You begin to recognize your pod mates, so to speak, even though you may never meet physically. At night, you meet upon the inner planes and you do grand works together, working in the subtle energy fields, which then later precipitate into form on the physical plane. All of our work is done, first of all, in the etheric blueprint. The etheric plane is like the blueprint for whatever manifests into the physical. So at night when you go to sleep, you're not really asleep. Your body is asleep. Your body is resting. But you exit it and you go out and you work on that overall big blueprint, which when it precipitates will be the heaven on earth that we've all been wanting. We are the ones that are manifesting it. So, You communicate upon the etheric, so to speak, and you are attuned to the same energies that more or less we are all vibrating to. And so the collective transmissions are very similar. You'll notice most of us, whether we're psychics working out of the astral or the solar plexus, whether we're trained intuitives working out of the mental level, whether we're self-realized beings that are working out of the atmic levels, there is a commonality of the information where you can say, oh, there's a similar thread here as coming through. The first people usually to pick up anything will be the psychics who are most attuned to the astral plane. But it won't be very refined in terms of the detail. They'll get you a fragrance, so to speak. And then it's picked up by someone who's able to step it down into more precise language, clear explanation. And then you'll find it goes down to people who are actually able to implement it in some form. And thus it's stepped down. The information that's transmitted is stepped down until finally it has its manifestation on the physical plane. So often our gifts are catapulted through some shock. It could be anything from a near-death experience, an episode of missing time, a shock, emotional, physical. Something has to shock us out of our normal, habitual parking space of consciousness. And whatever that is, it breaks the habit pattern of our habitual programming. And for a moment, we see a crack between the worlds. And in some cases, people develop tremendous abilities after that. Sometimes it changes them for their whole life. And they don't really understand why they see things entirely differently. But that jolt, you see, was a convergence place with spirit. And shock them out of their rut and got them aware of something beyond. And then they're off and running. So several of these things happened to me in life that shifted me from the mundane to the supramundane. And part of it was having several heartbreaks of a romantic nature. One of them was a real abysmal dark night of the soul where I felt suicidal, didn't want to be here anymore, which led to 3 hours and 45 minutes of missing time. I was taken up on an Ashtar command ship and shown my mission and came back basically wide awake, knowing who I was, why I was here, and what to do. Changed everything in my life. And I've had several of these dark nights, so to speak, throughout my life. And so it's not like there's just one thing that happens. It's like you keep growing. You keep expanding your multidimensional awareness until finally you're able to operate from direct perception without any need to interpret or think or tune in. You just are there all the time with direct knowing. And that's pretty fantastic. And I think, you know, inevitable, I think we all will arrive at that state. But for now, you know, since we're functioning in different aspects of time-space, in different places in our life, in our association arena, it's important that we bring the gift at the level that we are operating to that arena. So there's not a higher or lower or better or lesser. No, you're all fulfilling your roles as part of the overall plan. And every single gift is needed at the level in which it's operating. So I want you to be who you are until you're not. Do what you do until you don't. And in the meantime, be here now. Simple. Makes sense? So we're beginning to see and know at levels beyond the mind and its concepts, you see? So we're not going to know why we know what we know when we're operating out of the chalice. It's impossible. You just have to have developed, and you will, through experience, you will develop such self-confidence, and that's a self with a capital S, that you no longer have any form of doubt. You won't second-guess yourself. You won't wonder if you said the right thing or did the right thing. You'll just, with practice, with experience, come to just trust that without question. You'll say what you say. You'll do what you do. You won't look back. And you won't care what anyone says or doesn't say, whether they believe or don't believe. That is totally none of our business. So each of us expresses in a way that is unique to our nature. That's the way God made us. Unique. We're unique in so many levels of our being, in the iris of our eyes, in our fingerprints, in the crystal composition of the blood, the mind itself, the heart, even the vibration of our love. Even though we're all embodiments of divine love, your heart resonance, your heart coherency, your love is unique. No one can love like you. No one can be another you. There's only one you in all of the cosmos. So you see, there's no greater or lesser, no competition, no hurry to become and be something or develop into being somebody or something or putting a label or any form of limitation or box around your life. The point is to play your part to the very best of your ability and leave all the rest to God. So how do we see? Well, most people have a solar plexus sensitivity because they operate more from the emotional center in the mass consciousness. Disciples and initiates will be more conscious and more aware on the mental and soul levels. But the average human being is very emotional, and that's why they often speak of their gut feeling. And we will have that kind of emotional attachment to people we're very close to, or a mother to her child. And we may not know why, or specifically why we feel a gut reaction or a gut pull, but we have the ability to know when something is not quite right with someone we love. And that would be an astral solar plexus sensitivity. When registered at a higher level, it can be quite clear, depending on how much development and attunement we have, how much experience we have. But it's like the psychics who work with the police in tracking down missing people or lost children or tracking down criminals. You know, those who practice, what do they call it, remote viewing. They can be very, very precise. And the ability to see inwardly within the time-space continuum. True telepathy is direct mental communication mind to mind, and in its advanced state from soul to soul. It's called best, in its highest level, intuition, the inner tutor, the inner master, the inner voice of the presence. It's called many things, or soul awareness. Or Buddhic awareness, Buddhic consciousness. And in the higher focus of some, the soul communication and the mind communication gives form as to what was communicated. In other words, they're able to step it down to where you can actually have a next step operation happening there. It isn't just something that's inspired and something of the moment. It has a practical application. And sometimes it will take the form of writing or you know, an engineering blueprint, an architectural or city design, or even how to operate a very effective business enterprise. All of that would be the application of an understanding that's acquired from a higher attunement. Your inventors, the people that bring forward new ideas and new programs and processes, all of that involves the ability to take something from a higher level and step it down into form. And really, that's what the masters do. That's what we are here to learn how to do very, very effectively. So even though we're speaking of one divine self appearing as the many, with many, many aspects, within the human kingdom, we're functioning within the third, fourth, and soon fifth dimensional spheres and in some rare cases, higher. And we're beginning to bridge all of these different levels so that they all function harmoniously as one. Something I asked my teacher early on, because I've always been gifted with sight and inner hearing, I was hearing his voice, Sai Baba's voice, I was hearing the voice of the Master Moria, I was hearing the voice of Jesus, and I could recognize each one's vibration and each one's communication, and of course the Ashtar Command, Lord Ashtar. But this was when I was very young, and in my early reappropriating of my gifts and reappropriating the contents of my chalice, and he has such a wonderful way of answering so simply. He said, it doesn't matter who's speaking. It's always the one voice. And it brings me to the lesson in the Course of Miracles where it says, all sounds are echoes of the voice for God, which is defined in the Course in Miracles as the Holy Spirit, because God, in its ultimate sense, doesn't speak. It speaks through the living word, which is the Holy Spirit. So it's always the one that speaks. Well, then we just have to kind of discern, don't we, as to content and quality of content. And it absolutely doesn't matter who the messenger is. You have to discern the quality of the message. So, it's not important. That's why I don't speak a great deal about my past and who I am and where I've come from and what I've done, all that. For the simple reason, it's not important. I'm simply an emissary speaking on behalf of an intergalactic group of people called the Ashtar Galactic Command. That's my job. That's what I do. And I've been doing that now since 1964 on a conscious level. So I was trained by the best, the Ashtar Command, directly by the Ashtar Command. And so that's what I'm doing. Job assignment, simple. Now for me, it's very, very simple. All I have to do is open my mouth and speak. There's no thought. There's nothing. There's nothing that I have to do, because it's just a direct flow without bypassing the lower mind, bypassing the thinking, bypassing everything. It just flows. And how I started was to learn to sit quietly and attune to the master that I wanted to experience energetically. For example, I would sit and attune to Ashtar, and I would receive his energy signature. I would recognize his vibration. I would recognize his particular flavor, and how it would color the consciousness as it attuned and flowed through the instrument, until I could recognize his vibration anywhere. You know how you can be asleep or playing possum, and you know who it is that's walking into the room? You feel their vibration? It's like that. So I did that with all of the masters that I was working with at the time, and of course this is many, many decades back, until I was very familiar, and my whole head was like, had a different place where the different masters would touch me, so I could know if it was Lord Sananda, if it was Ashtar, if it was my teacher John Roger, whoever it was, I recognized their touch, their essence, their energy signature. So that's how you start when you want to attune to a particular being. I also, oddly enough, asked for several things. I asked to be in contact only with the Ashtar Command at the highest spiritual levels. I ask that all my lower psychic centers be closed. I want it to be accessed only at the highest divine levels. I also did not want to interact with any other UFO group of beings. I wanted to keep it very clear, very clean, very pure. Now, that's my mission. That may not be yours, but I have to tell you my experience. And so I don't know a lot about these other extraterrestrial groups. People might think I have knowledge about that. I don't. I'm not involved in all of the different conspiracy theories and all the things that people talk about, the hidden government and all that stuff. I'm not encoded for that. I am encoded to quicken the living light, the living sound, the living love, the living word of your highest divine soulific essence. To activate that, to quicken that, to stir that, to ignite it into a flame of divine love. The mission that this instrument serves is one of divine love, pure and simple. I never wanted any powers, ever, but love. I never wanted anything but a pure heart. I don't care about anything else. Not important. But to be a pure instrument for the love of God, to communicate through His Holy Spirit what that Spirit of Truth wants you to know, beyond the human drama, beyond the emotional drama, beyond all the involvement with the various things of this material universe. Who and what are you beyond that? That is birthless, deathless, eternal, pure, perfect, indistinguishable from God. That's what this instrument communicates and is focused on at this time. Now, each one of you need to tune in to how the energy aligns and focuses through you. That's your task, to discern the way the Holy Spirit operates through you. And which of the senses it operates through most predominantly? I'm very visual. So generally, I see, and the way we see is through inner imagery, sometimes pictures, symbols, light geometries, symbolic scenes, numbers, sacred geometric yantras, light language script. Some enter the third eye, and by so doing, they enter an inner kingdom inside their head, which opens up into a universe. And they begin traveling in the inner galaxies within their own inner self. That's what Jesus was referring to when he said, the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of God is within. That's what he meant. You actually see in your brow, when you're looking inside, when you're inside the center of your skull in your focus, looking out through your forehead from inside your head, very gently without forcing, you will see an opening. It takes different shapes depending on how you're aligned. It could look like a sun, it could look like a diamond, it could look like a blue circle with a white dot. It could look like a blue star. It could look like a purple form. It could look like the radiant form of the inner master. It could be many, many ways that it appears, or none of the above. I think we're all very unique, so I'm just naming a few of these things as possibilities. But bottom line, you can enter into that and go into the inner kingdom. And when you do that, you're entering into your own inner universe. This is your universe inside yourself. And that comprises the kingdom of what we call the kingdom of the soul. But beyond the kingdom of the soul is the kingdom of God, which is outside of your inner universe. And you have to use the divine sound current to go from the soul into the atmic planes. Most people just recycle. They go as high as the mental plane or the cosmic mirror, which is a level that reflects back to you to where you think you've attained, you think you're God, you think you've arrived at the end, but it's a trick. And many people fall back from that cosmic mirror and start to teach and put up their shingle that they're master so-and-so, and they're not. They're just operating out of the psychic field, and they've been fooled by the cosmic mirror into thinking they had attained. Only purity can go beyond the cosmic mirror. No taint of self-promotion, self-importance, and I'm speaking of the lower self here. As long as you think you're a person that has some importance or some special something about you that nobody else has, you're still operating out of we could call it the spiritual ego. You know, when you've got to die to that sense of who you think you are. So none of the God-realized great masters ever talk about themselves, and they're not self-referenced. If they speak at all, they speak about you. They're here for you, not to promote their own glory. So it's very important that you go straight to God. Go straight to God. Sai Baba said there are no pure gurus on the planet today. All are tainted with the ego. So go straight to God, and God is within your heart. The only proper guru at this time, quoting Sai Baba, is God. And when Prema Sai Baba begins to manifest his avatarship, that's what he's going to teach, that you are God. So in a way, my focus right now is preparing you as light workers and the planet for the emergence of the golden age of Prema Sai Baba. That's my focus now. In the early part of the mission, my focus was the activation of the Ashtar Command ground crew. Now my focus is preparing the way for Prema Sai Baba, preparing the consciousness of the people to move into this golden age, this Satya Yuga, this age of truth. So if you followed us through the 12 years that we're now into our 12th year of doing these weekly seminars, you will notice there's a difference in the emphasis now than there was when I first started. And that's why. We are now moving into a different focus, a different facet of the mission that is appropriate for today. And there are still teachers out there that will work with you on those fundamental levels. But I'm not one of them right now. I'm working on a different aspect, a different focus. So anyway, some of you will see on an inner screen within your head something that looks like a script that moves across your consciousness, in which you actually read, like letters. You can see them appearing, like on a moving screen inside your head. John Roger described that that's how he would receive what he called the mystical traveler consciousness. There was like a moving script across his mind. And that's a form of soul seeing from the soul, operating from the soul. So some of you receive like that. Some hear an audible dictation that appears in the mind. It just drops in the mind without any thought or effort. And it's clear, like someone is giving a word-by-word message that one is to write or transmit vocally. A good example of that was Alice Bailey and her work with the Master DK. That's how he dictated word by word audibly to her through telepathic rapport the Alice Bailey series of books, which were my foundational teaching. And so that's an example of telepathic rapport, or Vulcan mind meld, if you will, mind to mind and soul to soul, because she was an advanced initiate. Now, with me, it's a little bit similar. I work with direct, it kind of started out like that, where it was a mind-to-mind, soul-to-soul, direct transmission. But now I have to say it's just, I just operate from direct, instant knowing. There's no thought involved, in other words. So how do we receive? We receive in dreams, in meditation, in sitting down and tuning in and looking and listening, in visions in the day or in the night, in telepathic impression from the group on the inner planes you're working with, the group in the physical plane that you're associated with spiritually, the inner plane ashram of the master that you have come through as a lineage, as a sponsor, your own master, your own soul, or in some beginner's cases, your own high self. Your high self would be like, it would be like an angelic presence that knows why you're here as a soul and helps your personality in the human sense get the message. And those are all communicative groups, let's say, that we're in rapport with, whether we're conscious or not. Before I do these shows, these seminars, I will ask the Lord to give me a very, very, very long nap so that even though I may only have 15, 20 minutes, I feel like I've slept for an hour. And during that time, I will ask that they download my mind with what I am to transmit in the show. And that's how it comes out when I go on the air. And that's kind of how also Edgar Cayce used to receive his information. He was called the Sleeping Prophet. And he was a very devout Christian. I don't know if you know that or not. And every year he would read the Bible all the way through. He didn't really believe in the stuff that he talked about when he woke up, oddly enough. He talked about things like Atlantis and past lives and had all of these medical cures that he had that he would give to people. He talked about the past, the future, UFOs, all this stuff. And he really didn't have a conscious awareness of it, in his human physical mind. We receive night vision. Sometimes we go out of the body at night. We're not really ever asleep, and we're very conscious. We're working on the inner planes, and sometimes we're taken aboard ship. We're shown a vision on the screens that we have aboard these ships. Or we travel in an interdimensional mystery school, and we're shown things. Or we have a way of being able to leave our body in astral projection. Or we can mentally project. Or we can move, as I do, through soul travel, where you move in your soul body and you're not limited to the astral plane. And all of those levels you can amass and tune into and have information imparted. So we receive at many, many levels. As you study, as you equip yourself consciously with the information that you're going to need as a library to draw from so that you can have something that is well presented, well thought through, well understood. You have a platform from which to speak. You have the language. You have the ability to convey through your study and your inner work in meditation, and then you become this magnetic center of light and love and wisdom, and your aura becomes attractive. And through that attractive aura, you magnetize to you the information that is available on all levels throughout the cosmos that would be appropriate for you to transmit. You yourself become that magnetic aura that attracts into your consciousness what you need to communicate. So it's an ongoing, I think, process of greater and greater refinement and attunement. I have to tell you that the biggest block that will block you are two things. Doubt. There is no such thing as good doubt. All doubt, cast it out. That doesn't mean you don't check things out and you don't use your good common sense and your discernment, but never doubt yourself or the divine and the divine spirit. Just don't go there. Number two, there's no such thing as righteous judgment. Judgment of anyone or anything will block your ability to hear and receive clearly. There is no such thing as righteous judgment. There is no such thing as constructive criticism. Just cross judgment and criticism right off your list. They are not options if you want to be a clear receiver of information. Both of these dreadful habits, along with doubt, harm you and others and are manifestations of the lower self or ego. So it's important that we begin to move from our emotional center, where these negative egocentric emotions come from, and we move up into the heart center and really ask to have the heart opened so that we can speak from our heart, our spiritual heart, which is always with understanding and compassion. And we need to learn to quiet and focus the mind, to concentrate, to be able to then also transcend the mind in terms of the thinking process through meditation and soul travel, soul transcendence. We need to be able to visualize and form clear and precise thought forms and thought imagery, which is acquired through visualization. And again, the biggest blocks are self-doubt and a critical spirit. Speaking ill of others, spreading tales, slandering, gossiping are all things that will block the higher receptivity and one's usefulness. We have to cultivate a calm, serene mind, emotional control, self-discipline. And we operate through faith and trust and not having to know. So as we walk in steadfast confidence in God, in Guru, in the Inner Master, in the Holy Spirit, in your inner sense of knowing, you find that you become a more and more effective co-worker with God and servant of humanity. So I hope this has been helpful. It's a big subject. It's a profound subject. Remember that mental agitation blocks that clear receptivity. Make your mind like a serene, clear lake that reflects. You can see the reflection of the trees along the bank. Make your mind that still that it can reflect the holy thoughts of God. And cast out the critical spirit, the harmful intent, and speak only that which is helpful, truly helpful, and a blessing to everyone. So let's go out chanting a nice long Anai Hue. Deep breath. as a collective Messiah, a collective group of anointed ones. We raise our hands and we send our blessings to all the men, women, and children on planet Earth, to all the kingdoms of nature, to all the species, and wherever there's a great need, Father, we send the light and pray your blessings, your grace, your mercy on the many, many people that are going through very difficult times at this time. We pray for strength, your presence, your anointing, your grace, and our ever-strengthening ability to hear you clearly. Host your Holy Spirit and be truly helpful to our fellow human beings. And we just bless all the beings on this planet and throughout the cosmos. May all be peaceful. May all be happy. May all awaken to the divine love that is their true nature. Namaste.